Don't miss the world's premier Christian Counseling Conference event, the 2025 AACC United World Conference. It has sold out the last 10 times in a row, and this one is shaping up to be the best one ever. Returning to the magnificent Opryland Hotel in Nashville, September 2025. With amazing plenary experts, over 50 leading pre-con workshops, over 25 counseling and recovery tracks, and over 175 clinical, academic, and biblical workshops, so you can tailor the conference to meet your personal and professional goals. This year's World Conference features world-leading and dynamic experts like Kurt Thompson, Henry Cloud, Tyler Vanderweel, Harold Koenig, Tim Timberlake, Gary Chapman, Daniel Amen, Lisa Turkhurst, Jenny Allen, Tim and Zach Clinton, and so much more. Enjoy incredible praise and worship with special guests, Chris Tomlin, Katie Nicole, and Micah Tyler. I see grace. Hallelujah, I stand amazed. Make plans to attend now. The World Conference has sold out the last 10 times in a row with nearly 7,000 counselors and mental health and ministry leaders from all 50 states and 40 different countries represented. Register now for the best savings at worldconference.net. That's worldconference.net. The 2025 AACC United World Conference. See you in September.
Welcome to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. And on behalf of our hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, thanks for listening. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help AACC equip the church and provide Christian mental health care to those in need, visit AACCFoundation.org to donate. Your gift will ensure that this program and your station remain on the air. Now, let's join our host, Dr. Tim Clinton.
Thank you, Jim. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton, and today's program is special to me because it involves a dear friend of mine, a pastor friend, his mental health and his passion for Jesus, and a devotion to God. This man walks the walk. His faith and his conviction for the Lord are bold. His leadership within the church, it's so strong. His name, Pastor Jack Graham. Jack is senior pastor of Prestonwood Baptist Church in Plano, Texas. He has a passion for the mental well-being of the people he ministers to. He wrote a book about a tough season that he experienced and came out of. The book is called Reignite Your Faith, and it's the subject of today's conversation. And remember this, even pastors struggle to keep going sometimes. When Dr. Jack Graham had a major surgery 10-plus years ago, he knew it would take a physical toll. But to his surprise, he found himself wiped out emotionally and spiritually. He wrestled with depression and a lack of spiritual energy, and he struggled to find joy and growth in his walk with Christ. So how do you get back when you get knocked down? How do you get spiritually re-energized? In Reignite, Dr. Graham shares powerful lessons he learned during his own tough season. Let's jump right into my conversation with Pastor Jack Graham.
Jack, quite a storied life as a pastor. The great Prestonwood Church, been there. It's absolutely stunning. One of the nation's largest and most dynamic congregations. I think you got nearly 50,000 members. Radio ministry, prolific author. You served as the honorary chairman for the National Day of Prayer, president of the Southern Baptist Convention for a while. Jack, just amazing. Tell us a little bit about your thoughts on ministry and what God has been doing and is doing.
Yep. I always say there's never been a better time, and for us here in this country, a better place to preach the gospel than right now. People are finding themselves empty and restless and often hopeless. And we come with this message of life and truth and the word of God and grace and truth as Jesus teaches us to live out this gospel and to proclaim this gospel. So, you know, I've never been more encouraged, even though we're coming out of a very rough season, obviously, in the world, in the country. And yet I've never been more encouraged, and we're seeing things in terms of sparks of revival
Jack, you're such a great preacher. You challenge people to pursue the Word of God, to be relentless. What I love is you're authentic too. Your new work, Reignite, a fresh focus for an enduring faith, though, takes a little bit of a turn. You're willing to step into a very vulnerable position and share about a season of darkness. And it reminds me, Jack, just simply of this: storms, challenges, times of darkness come to all of us. And yeah, often we're not ready for them, and they throw us. I can't help but think of the pandemic, the lockdowns, the racial trauma, the election mess, the race for the vaccine, everything. It's thank God we're coming out of that other side of that. But Jack, it's devastated a lot of people. Mental health issues are soaring. We had a crisis. Now we have a mental health disaster on our hands. And people are reeling, and they need a word of hope and encouragement. Job 5:7, Job 14:1, man who's born of woman is but a few days, and their lives are often full of trouble. Your thoughts, Jack, about those times of darkness, those moments that spin us.
We need a theology of suffering that comes from the Bible. And Christianity is not immunity from struggles, from suffering, from pain. As you have said very eloquently, the struggle is real, and it's real for all of us. And I didn't really intend in this book, Reignite, to talk this much about my own personal struggle 12 years ago with anxiety and depression. But this will forever be, to me, my COVID book, as I was seeing this medical pandemic going on and then this mental health pandemic increasing. It just exposed the underneath the struggles that people were experiencing already. Many who know God and know Christ, and many, of course, who do not know Christ. But I really wanted to write a book about endurance, and that's the subtitle, Enduring Faith. And the scripture says that you must have endurance, and there's perseverance and resilience. And that's what I wanted this book to be about. And at some level, I wanted it to be my story now as a veteran believer. I've hit my 3 score in 10. I'm excited about life. I'm healthy, still pastoring, still going strong. But it does give you pause when you hit that number. So now here in my 70th year, starting my eighth decade of life, I wanted to tell my story at some level about the faithfulness of God and the essentials of Christian living and how to keep going. How can you keep trekking with the Lord for many years? Yeah. We've seen a lot of blowouts, including pastors along the way, and dropouts and all the rest, burnouts. And I wanted to talk about those basics, those essentials, for whether you're a veteran, long-term believer, or a new Christian, that it would encourage you to endure. But in the midst of that, I felt impressed to tell my story that in 2009, I had a cancer surgery, prostate cancer.
You got that call.
I got that call, and I was ready for that. I was okay with that. I didn't love the idea that I was having surgery, but I went in confident and believing that I would be just fine. But when I came out, I was back in the pulpit 11 days after this major surgery, which was not smart. Don't do that. I want to go back and just say, if you're a man over 40, you need to get your PSA checked, because prostate cancer is one of the most curable of cancers, and it's very important that men, especially if you have a family history, but especially anyway if you're over 40. But when I got out, the next thing I know, I wasn't sleeping, and anxiety began to creep in. I kind of identified it as a PTSD. I'd never had surgery. I'd never had a cold. I mean, I like kill germs. I've got this great immune system. So now I've got cancer, and they're saying, well, maybe we got it all, maybe we didn't. And the next thing I know, I'm in darkness.
Jack, you were talking in the book about how the anxiety kept building in, even to a point where you were sensing or thinking you were having panic attacks.
To this day, I don't know how to describe it. Again, I went to a counselor, which I encourage people to do. I got therapy ultimately. But I do think they described it as kind of a, well, to put it in a succinct term, my guy said to me, he said, you know, you've been hit by a Mack truck and you've been left in the ditch. Yeah. That was a pretty good description for me. I just couldn't get going. I mean, depression, anxiety, there are a lot of symptoms with it, including physical symptoms. I couldn't sleep. I couldn't concentrate. Just all those things that I'd never experienced in my life, and that was part of it. I think if it ever happened again, I would be better prepared to deal with it.
And then what happens is when you get into that kind of funk, if you will, you tend to disengage. I like to think of depression. The theory of depression is a theory of disengagement. Mm-hmm. You pull back to get control.
Which is the last thing you need to do.
Yeah, when you pull back to get control, you're cutting off all the things that basically give you life, which only makes it even more compounded mm-hmm. and more difficult.
Yeah.
Jack, in the book, and I thought this was really brilliant, I liked how you talked about the sources of stress. Stop for a moment and look around you at what's happening. You wrote these words, change can bring it. Conflict can bring it. Criticism can bring it. Crisis in life.
And my son Jason, who's here with us right now today, said, children. Children can stress you. I said, well,
that's another C. Yeah.
That's another C.
Jack, yeah. It's like everybody in life have what we call our horizontal stressors. I mean, mm-hmm. that's just the ebb and flow of life. We're going to bump into things, and it's going to throw us. Everybody gets the blues, but depression goes deeper.
Yeah.
It's more than that. It's where you get stuck. And then the horrifying thing is when you have these, we call them vertical stressors, these things that drop in on us. You get the phone call, mm-hmm. and it's the C word.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
these bombs, when they
There's
go
another
off,
stressor.
And when you get hit by those are the things. And I think people don't often understand the level of stress they're under
mm-hmm.
and how potentially dangerous it is when they get hit.
Yep. And unfortunately, through the years in the church, you didn't want to admit that in some way you were weak, that somehow you were not able to handle that stress or that anxiety, the pressure that you were feeling. And frankly, there was a generation of Christians that grew up not so long ago that the last place you would mention you were depressed would be among your Christian friends.
Oh, I know.
You know, and
Weakness. This
is one of the things
no
that
faith.
You're doing and raising awareness, just like we're raising awareness to prostate cancer, we're raising awareness to breast cancer and all these awareness issues. We should raise the awareness among Christians and that, this is real, and if you think that somehow it's all spiritual, it's not all spiritual. My prayer life was the best I knew how up to date. My faith was strong going in. You know, God was blessing our lives, but I was hit by this out of nowhere, like a Mack truck hitting me, leaving me. And the thing is, it lies to you. The other thing about depression that I discovered, it lies to you with things like, you're never going to get better. You used the word stuck a moment ago.
Yeah.
You're stuck like this. And I began to think, my ministry is over. I mean, I'm never going to be the same. I'm never going to get through this. It's never going to change. And that's a lie. Now, there are people who suffer chronic, long-term depressive illnesses, and we know that. Mine was episodic due to a major stress in life, and much of it, I don't know how much, but a lot of people, that's the kind of depression, anxiety they have. But we did get through it. And, you know, I had a good friend of mine tell me, Jack, there's never been a sunset that there's not been a sunrise. And that simple little thing, almost simplistic thing, I can't tell you how much that encouraged me. I kept asking Deb, my wife, and God bless her because she walked with me. She had never seen me in this state at all. But I kept asking, am I going to be okay? I must have asked her 100 times, am I going to be okay? Because I kept thinking, I'm not going to be okay. And just to hear those simple words, you're going to be okay, that really helped get me through another day. And then eventually for me, I can only talk about me, it was like the clouds just went away. It just gradually, and the storm left. And I realized, hey, I hadn't thought about this in days. You know, when you're in the middle of one of these things, it's all you can think about. Your mind's revving, your mind, and you're thinking. One day, you realize, I hadn't thought about that in days. And then it becomes weeks and months. And this is helping somebody right now. Because I'm just telling you, there are people who think, I'm forever like this. It's never going to change. It's ruining my life, my marriage, my career, and everything. But there's never been a sunset that there hasn't been a sunrise, and that's especially true for a Christian.
Our special in-studio guest, Dr. Jack Graham. Brand new work called Reignite, Fresh Focus for an Enduring Faith. Pastor Graham is also a great leader of our day, the great Prestonwood Church in Plano, Texas, a good friend of the ministry, and a delightful conversation. Jack, I want to stay with the thought life piece just for a moment because what happens is the negativity begins to consume you. And we're learning now that the brain begins to spin. And there's a word that we're talking about. It's called rumination. You begin to dwell on these things.
I learned that word well during my time.
Yeah, Jack, us understand that you're right. You've got to reframe, because I'm hearing you say, Tim, it's like I had a reset in my mindset. I had a reset. I had a reframe.
Yeah.
Getting out of that funk is tough, though.
Mm-hmm. There's nothing in some ways that you can do to force your way out, to push your way out. If I could have changed it with positive thinking, it would have happened in 30 seconds. Because, yes, there was a lot of negativity and there was fear. And, part of my fear was the cancer. Is it coming back? Am I gonna die of this? I was face to face with mortality for the first time in my life, as far as I knew. That's why, and I'm open about this in the book, I needed some balance. I went to therapy. I took medication. I hated the idea of doing that. And there are Christians who say you should never take medication for mental health issues. Just, read your Bible and pray more. And I believe that's wrong. My friend Tommy Nelson, who's a wonderful pastor here in North Texas, and he actually has chronic. He's very open about this.
I've interviewed Tommy many times.
So he's talking about taking medication. He said, I got to the point I would have taken rat dung if it had made me feel better,
Because why? You're so desperate.
Yeah.
You need something. And you know what, Jack? We're in such a different day now when it comes to medications. A lot of people think if you take it, it puts you in a stupor, you get weird. No, actually, it helps clean out. Brings clarity if you're on the right thing. Management is really important, medical management.
Sure.
But Jack, you're right. It can be a real gift. You help us in the book, and you said this was about a 12-month journey, that time can become a friend. Mm-hmm. Truth is a friend. Thankfulness is a friend here. The right thoughts are a friend. And you use the word therapy. I'm a big proponent of people seeking out mental health care, that having someone come alongside of you. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about your four pillars next here in a moment. But those T's I thought were really, really insightful.
Yeah, and that's what I hung the first 60 pages of the book is about my story. I don't want, if you're going to pick up this book, if you want to read this book, it is my story. I open up. I tell the truth about what happened to me because God is the God of all comfort, and with the comfort that we are comforted, we can comfort others. And I'm a better pastor. I'm better minister, because now somebody tells me they're depressed, I know what that feels like. And there might have been a time in my life as a young pastor, especially, who didn't understand these things, where if somebody told me they were depressed, I would have said, well, get over it. And there is value in getting up and getting moving and getting exercise.
But if you're really depressed, it's tough to get out of the bed.
It is, because you're exhausted.
Yeah,
I was, and I'm sure everybody
consume. Has, you're not sleeping, or you're sleeping way too much, or whatever.
They torture people with sleeplessness,
yeah,
and it's torturous, and I wasn't sleeping for a long time. So for me, it was exchanging lies for truth, and I talk about that in the book a lot, that Satan lies, you lie to yourself, and that's why you have to be in the truth, in the Word. And I truly can say all those promises of God, I could barely, one thing that happens to you in depression, you can't concentrate very well. Reading your Bible, reading anything becomes very hard. But I had memorized a lot of scriptures in my life. And those scriptures were with me. And
that's
I
the truth
just
that
kept
was soaking
the truth
in there.
Of God, which transforms
spinning
and renews
those
the mind.
Thoughts. That's why Paul said in Philippians 4:8, those things that are lovely, just, of good report, and so much more, think on those things.
And in meditation.
Thought replacement
becomes
so important. Men in particular seem to have a real problem. I saw a title of a book years ago on male depression. This was the title. I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah.
Because we lock into that abyss alone.
Mm-hmm.
And such a gift for men that in this, I've got to start grinding, if you will, in that direction. Men want a plan. They need instruction. Tell me what to do. God help me.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And one thing I've also read about men in particular, one of the biggest signs or symptoms of depression in men, I believe Archibald Hart especially focuses on this, is anger. And a lot of the anger you see in particular with men is really a mask for depression. And of course, I've also heard you could tell us that depression is anger turned inward.
Anger turned inward.
It's just that seething rage that is in, and ultimately your system shuts down, your brain shuts down.
I feel like I can't do anything.
Yeah. But we just want to keep it to ourselves. I did, and I'm now saying, look, I want you to know what happened to me, because if it happened to me, it could happen to you, and it's the common cold, depression. mental health issues. Yes. And most people battle it in some way or another. And great people in life have supported it. Go back to the Bible. Start with Moses, who was so upset, so stressed with the children of Israel that he prayed to die. He said, it's enough. I don't want to live anymore. Same thing happened to Jonah. He'd been in a great revival experience with Jonah. He was mad at God. His problem was an anger problem. And he said, just take my life. I'm done. Go with Jesus to the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus was so stressed, bearing the sins of the world, drinking the cup of wrath, that his very blood vessels, the capillaries of his skin burst, and he was oozing out blood under this extreme stress. So no one is immune. Great people like, Churchill and Abraham Lincoln, the great British preacher, perhaps the greatest preacher since Paul, Luther. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, Luther, yeah. Another one. All battled episodes of depression. It is the human condition. And back to where we started, suffering and a theology of suffering and how to suffer and do it well is very important for every Christian.
Jack, let's close this way. The heart of your book, it's about returning to God's Word,
yeah.
Flooding your mind with that. It's about prayer. It's about the church. I call it people fuel. We need each other more, not less.
Mm-hmm.
Jack, it's about a victory mindset. You challenge us to grow in Christ and then to go with God. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, God wants to use your story.
Yeah, evangelism and witnessing and share your faith.
People are going to hit the wall. Some listening right now are there. Now, they've turned this way up. And they're crying out to God, please help me in my moment. Your closing thought in that season of their life.
When you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and mental health issues can feel like the valley of shadow of death.
Yeah, they can.
I felt like at times a dead man walking. And it was darkness begging for light. You're in the darkness, whether it's grief, whether it's loneliness, whether it's depression, anxiety, all these issues that we face, it's a valley. But the promise of the 23rd Psalm, and really the promise of our shepherd, is that not only do you go in it, but you go through it. And I did pray along the way, Lord, don't let me just go through this. Help me to grow through this. Help me to experience your presence like never before. And I find in the 23rd Psalm, when David's talking there, he's first talking about the Lord. He's saying, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me in the still waters. He's talking in the third person about God, about the greatness of God, the shepherd who cares for us. But when he gets in the valley, something changes. And he stops talking about the Lord and starts talking to the Lord. He says, your rod and your staff is with me. Your presence is in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil. It's now you. And I know this for me, God became so real and so ever-present in the darkest hour. And I've seen that as a pastor. I've now experienced it as a pastor. So for that person right now that you find yourself in a deep, dark valley
place,
and it feels really bad, it's one of the worst feelings I've ever experienced, then just know you're there for a season and the shepherd is leading you through. And surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
You'll get through this.
Thank you. Thank you.
Hey, that was my conversation with Pastor Jack Graham. His book again, Reignite Your Faith. I hope you'll get a copy wherever books are sold. I know this, you're going to enjoy it, and you'll grow to admire Jack even more. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton. Thanks for joining us here on Life, Love, Faith, and Family. God's blessings to you.
Thanks for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help equip the church to provide Christian mental health care, visit aaccfoundation.org. Your donation ensures this program and your station stay on the air. On behalf of our co-hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, this is Jim Kress. We look forward to having you with us again next time. May God bless you.
Don't miss the world's premier Christian counseling conference event, the 2025 AACC United World Conference. It has sold out the last 10 times in a row, and this one is shaping up to be the best one ever. Returning to the magnificent Opryland Hotel in Nashville, September 2025. With amazing plenary experts, over 50 leading pre-con workshops, over 25 counseling and recovery tracks, and over 175 clinical, academic, and biblical workshops, so you can tailor the conference to meet your personal and professional goals. This year's World Conference features world-leading and dynamic experts like Kurt Thompson, Henry Cloud, Tyler Vanderweel, Harold Koenig, Tim Timberlake, Gary Chapman, Daniel Amen, Lisa Turkhurst, Jenny Allen, Tim and Zach Clinton, and so much more. Enjoy incredible praise and worship with special guests, Chris Tomlin, Katie Nicole, and Micah Tyler. Make plans to attend now. The World Conference has sold out the last 10 times in a row with nearly 7,000 counselors and mental health and ministry leaders from all 50 states and 40 different countries represented. Register now for the best savings at worldconference.net. That's worldconference.net. The 2025 AECC United World Conference. See you in September.